Hey guys, this is Scott Mitchell welcoming you to our radio program. I didn't realize the mics were already on. And Theron tricked me this morning.
There you go.
Priscilla tricked you.
Want to thank everyone for the opportunity and thank the radio station and Sean and everybody for this, giving us this opportunity to be on. We, I don't know, this is like our 15th or 16th show.
I think it's the 16th.
This is a Bible program. If you just just beginning to listen, we just called it Let the Bible Speak because that's what we're trying to do. I've been working with the Church of Bethel for a little over a year, and we have just been spending a lot of time trying to get back to the Bible and read it and be honest with it, be honest with ourselves and change what needs to be changed. And I do want to, before we start, I've got John Bingham's back with us again. We're going to talk about biblical balance today. And I'm excited about that because it's something we've been talking a lot about as far as Bible authority and taking everything that Bible says about a subject, and Psalm 119:160, that all of God's word is truth and that sort of thing. But before I let John get started, I have to, because Tina used Facebook, so I can use radio waves.
That's right.
Tina and I, my wife, celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary yesterday. And I cannot explain how I honestly feel about that without breaking down and crying, I don't think.
Yay!
That's not what I intended, but thanks. that takes the edge off.
Yeah, I try to.
But anyway, we've got, because of Tina, I'm in this radio station. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't know John, I wouldn't know Theron.
I want to give Scott a big hug.
We wouldn't have the kids we have. We certainly wouldn't have the lives we have because she's the reason I became a Christian to begin with. So anyway, I love you, Tina, and I know you're listening. But good things are going on.
That's right.
So anyway, John, won't you, in case people are new to the show, and they may be, but we'll probably be up to, who knows, 40 or 50,000 listeners today.
That's right.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, kind of tell us what you've been doing and why you're here and that sort of thing, and we'll get
okay
on with our show.
I'm John Bingham, and I live over in Louisville, and I'm working with the Eastland congregation over in Louisville. But I love to get over here to work with the El Bethel congregation whenever possible. Yeah, we've done a time or two of doing some gospel singings, and who knows, we may be able to get another one of those going sometime soon. But otherwise, was able to, blessed to be able to come over last month and share a lesson in the middle of June sometime, share a lesson on biblical balance that I wanted to pull some of the ideas out today. And Lord willing, tomorrow, July 15th, I'll be able to kind of give the next lesson in this series as far as that's concerned. So hopefully today's discussion will whet the appetite a little bit for inviting everybody to come out tomorrow. Bible study starts at 9:30 and our worship time and sermon time starts at 10:30.
That
am
is
I
correct.
Remembering correctly?
You are remembering correctly. If you aren't sure, you can check the Facebook live feed that Theron did.
That's right.
And your daughter Emma says, finally able to watch.
Okay,
live.
Emma, love
there
you, baby.
You go.
That's my old one. She's at Western, Kentucky, becoming a what's the right word? Prosthetist. She's going to work with prosthetics.
Prosthetist.
Be careful how you type that in the computer.
That's right.
Don't say it too fast.
To kind of get started, the idea what we're talking about as far as biblical balance, and I'm going to let John has said several times, we can't let one verse nuke another verse. God
right,
make it
right
obsolete or like it doesn't count. And I was reading an article and this lady said, in terms of this balance thing, you know, we read the Bible and it being a Christian is about being more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, we can go through and make a list of all the things the Bible says about Jesus, and all it is overwhelming and confusing.
Right.
When you try, you know, because we talk here, here's one of the conflicts that maybe grace and truth.
Yep.
How do we balance that?
Right.
That's what we're kind of talking about.
Right.
The idea of, well, if the Bible says grace here and truth here, well, how do we balance, how
right
we handle those two things? And they don't contradict, they don't conflict. We just have to understand what the Bible says about
both of
them.
And right.
That's what we're trying to do this
and
morning.
How they harmonize
yes
together.
Yes, and they very much harmonize together. So anyway, I've got John's notes in front of me, so I'm going to let him go, and then I'll just, as my wife would say, add color commentary where I think it's necessary.
Very good.
So.
Very good. Well, let me first, before getting into the biblical balance concept itself, just appeal and say, first of all, that God has his creation.
Yes.
And from his creation, we learn that he has embedded a balance concept that we usually just take for granted for ourselves. Whenever I got out of bed this morning, I didn't consciously think about whether or not I would feel comfortable standing on my feet and walking around and all that kind of stuff. I just was doing the regular routine of getting up and going and stuff like that. But God has built us with balance that we take for granted most of the time. If we end up getting dizzy, or particularly if someone suffers vertigo, all of a sudden their world is really messed up because, and they're having a hard time functioning in life because they've lost balance. And if we lose balance, we are likely to stumble, we're likely to fall. We've got all sorts of issues. We can't function properly.
It's like a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meeting. Very good, John.
Hey,
I like
all
that.
Right, good.
Make a connection
good.
Here.
That's right, that's right. There are other ways in which there's balance in the way we do things as well. I'm told that I should have a balanced diet.
Yeah.
In order for my body to benefit the best, and that I probably should balance diet with exercise, which I haven't done in years. But a body performs well the more we have balanced diet and balance that with exercise and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And body doesn't work as well if we neglect those things, right?
That's interesting, because if we just eat one thing, we hone in on one thing to eat, it's not going to do us any good. And if we hone in on one thing, like grace, and become unbalanced, and we just think about grace all the time, we're also not going to be healthy.
That's right.
So that's interesting.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So if we have all sun and no rain, what ends up happening out there?
Drought. My corn dies.
Drought. Yep. Corn dies. If we have all rain and no sun, what ends up happening out there?
Corn also dies.
Yeah.
Bad things happen.
And those extremes end up messing things up.
Yep.
But when we get the right balance, then we can enjoy the corn in the harvest season.
Right now, I've got the prettiest garden I've ever had. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
That's right. That's right. We're always kind of wondering about what's going to unfold there.
Indeed.
So there is this balance idea that nature tells us about itself. And what we are asserting is that biblically, spiritually, we need to be balanced as well.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why I even kind of went with this idea was sometimes because we have strong spiritual interest, hopefully we have strong spiritual interest, some people may end up saying, well, you guys are out on the extreme. You guys are not properly, there's an appeal to an out of balance concept that goes on there where, you're taking that spiritual stuff too seriously and all that kind of stuff. Well, in actuality, there are some ways in which the world would view us as to an extreme, out of balance.
Legalistic.
But, sometimes people might say legalistic or things like that.
Yep.
But if we're handling the scriptures properly, we will end up finding the harmony, finding the balance, and not get off into extremes. And there is danger in falling if we go to either extreme around what the Bible truly calls balance. Now, how much scripture have I shared with you so far?
Let me think. I'm thinking none.
Yeah. So I need to get to scripture, because if I just set this up where it's a nice little man's theory, but it really doesn't have any scripture to show that it's truth.
Kind of like Calvinism.
Then it's not the truth.
No.
So what I would invite us to do is, what does Acts 17 verse 11 say? I'm going to have you read Matthew 23:23 right here in just a minute. I'm even telling them where to look. But I'm going to read Acts 17:11 really quick here. These, the Bereans, were more fair-minded. Don't you want to be fair-minded?
I do want to be fair-minded.
Than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Are you ready to receive the word?
Mm-hmm.
Are you eager, is another translation, eager to seek the word, to receive it. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They didn't just say, whatever somebody is telling me, I'm going to accept. They went to the scriptures and they looked at the scriptures and searched the scriptures to see whether what was being taught was actually what God's word says.
By the way, what version did you are these verses from?
This is from the ESV, the
That's
English
what I,
Standard
I just
Version.
Wanted to, if you're out there reading and you're trying to read along with us and it sounds a little different,
right?
They will sound a little different, but it's okay.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that, because I also use ESV.
Yes.
But a lot of people use other ones. I just wanted to
That's
ask
right. It. And search the scriptures of whatever translation you have.
Yeah.
And what you'll see is the same conclusions we're coming to are obvious out of the scriptures of whatever translation
It doesn't matter which one. I just wanted to.
Right.
If you're new and if you're like me and hadn't read a Bible and you're just trying to start it, that's why it may sound a little
That's
different.
Right.
But
that's
anyway,
right.
Anyway, he wants me to read Matthew 23, verse 23.
Yes, let's see that.
It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That doesn't sound very Jesus-y, does it?
Well, it is Jesus-y,
yes,
though.
Yes, it is. I know.
That's right.
But anyway, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness."
Okay, now let's stop right there for a moment. The context of this is Jesus is coming toward the end of his ministry, and he is really, all of Matthew chapter 23 are a series of indictments against the scribes and Pharisees for all sorts of problems that they have. And so he is convicting them of their sin, and one way in which they were messed up was, he says, you know what, you're paying so much attention to the last little detail of how to tithe, even small seeds. You might be sitting there going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay, give that tenth one to God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay, there's that tenth one for God. And so they were so detailed about certain things, thinking that that was making sure to obey God.
Yeah.
They had neglected the bigger picture of what God wanted them to do and what kind of heart God wanted them to have. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. Guess what that's called? That's called being out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Obeying God on some things, but totally ignoring what God's really calling for somewhere else.
Yeah.
Now, did Jesus stop there?
No.
No, he actually had another statement, and it's actually still in that same verse. So what was that last statement that Jesus added in right after saying, you've neglected justice and mercy and faithfulness? He says what?
No one can serve two masters.
Oh, nope. I'm sorry. I got it snuck up earlier
These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. That's the end of the same verse.
That's right. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others.
So they were doing some things right.
Uh-huh.
With the wrong attitude.
Right. Right. And so they were messed up in one direction, but Jesus doesn't just stop there to give us the impression that all that matters is love, or all that matters is just, you know, some people end up coming to the opposite conclusion of, it doesn't matter about any of the commandments. If you have love, or if you have faith, or justice or mercy, those types of things, then that's all that really matters, and the details of the commandments don't.
Yeah. And that whole concept, when you try to talk to people, pervades their thinking. You can't get them to consider the rest of the Bible because it's so ingrained.
Right. Right.
And what they think of God being this big, like we talked about last week, this big ball of love.
Right.
Or this big ball of vengeance, or this big ball of grace.
Right.
And they can't find the balance in those concepts because they can't. It just boils down to reading everything what the Bible says about it,
right?
And reckon it. They don't contradict,
right?
They never contradict.
No,
God is vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
That was paid on the cross,
right?
God is love.
Yep.
Because of what happened on the cross.
Right, that's right.
God does show grace.
Right.
Because of what happened on the cross.
Exactly.
And so
all those things are,
anyway, I didn't mean to.
No,
it's just
that's
right. This whole thing, it makes our job of trying to help people know God so much harder. Because they've been lied to,
right?
About, well, if you just have a little bit of faith, now you're okay,
right?
That's a lie,
right?
That is a lie. Well, you don't really, you know, God loves you, so you don't. Well, yes, Doug, but we still have something we need to do.
Yes.
To believe that God, I'm going to go to heaven because God loves me. and nothing on my part, that's a lie.
That's right. But that is all, getting out in an extreme.
Yeah, these are all out of bounds kind of things, and we've got to deal with them.
That's exactly right. And so Jesus pulls them back and he says, you ought to be doing these bigger picture things without neglecting the others. And so on one extreme, the scribes and Pharisees were wrong because they were only worried about some of the commands of God and missed the big picture.
Yeah.
On the flip side, people can emphasize the heart to the neglect of the commands. And that's out of balance in the opposite extreme. So we've got to find how to bring all of that together, because Jesus said, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Now, let's go back to, for a second though, Matthew 6:24 that you were starting to read a moment ago, because it's not the world's definition of balance.
No.
You know, the world would come along, just like you were saying, the world will come along and say, sure, have a little religion, but don't get carried away. Mm-hmm. Have some of the world and have a little religion and be balanced in that way. But Jesus says what? Matthew 6:24.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or mammon, depending on what version you have.
That's right. And so he says, you've got to make a choice about what's the true priority, rather than trying to straddle and worldly balance the world's things, money, and devotion to God. You're not going to be able to be successful in straddling both of those. In fact, let's skip on down to Matthew 13:22. What does Matthew 13:22 say?
Now he who receives seed among the thorns, he is who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Okay, so from Jesus's perspective, if we try to pursue the world's definition of balance, of spiritual and worldly things, then the worldly things are going to choke out and make us spiritually unfruitful.
You know, and I know this probably is not where you, it makes me think of Romans 12:1-2, and what it asks us to be a living sacrifice,
right,
to God,
right,
to what, to the world, or to God,
right,
and so and. If that's it, this idea of being a Christian should override every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
I'm the type of dad I am because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the type of husband I am because I'm a Christian. I'm
right.
the type of employee, the type of driver, the type of Walmart shopper, whatever it is, because I'm a Christian.
Right.
That's never part of who I am.
Yeah.
That's never not part of who I am.
Right. To say. Yeah, that's the foundation from which everything springs.
And so with that, if we respect God's word, as you read from Acts 17, the Bereans, you know, they search the scriptures daily.
Right.
You know, if you hear it, now I would normally say call in, but we can't.
We don't have a phone
yet, and my phone's up there on the stand for Facebook Live.
That's
so
the downside.
It's the only one that I guess we give you John's number. But normally, this would normally be a call-in show, and I would say if you disagree with something we say, or if we are comment alert, what do we have up there, Theron?
Oh, okay. So we have it's scrolled off. We had a comment. Somebody had used a really fancy word, and since we have a college professor here, I thought maybe he might recognize that word, and unfortunately it scrolled off.
Oh no.
But somebody had just made a comment that you have to look at the whole entire scripture, and you have to, it mentions faith, it mentions grace, mentions baptism, and so unfortunately, it scrolled off. I couldn't get your attention quick enough.
Maybe it'll come
up. I was looking for a blank piece of paper.
You're on my left side, Theron.
I'll have to have John nudge you next time.
There you go.
I was looking for a blank piece of paper just so I could write that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll look for the future.
I'll have my comment alert paper ready.
I'll try to do a better job.
High tech.
You're good.
So,
I didn't want to stop you.
Keep sending the comments. We'll try to find them. But that idea of if there's a question, call us out on it.
What is your number? So after the program, if somebody has a question.
My phone number is 812-620-4034, 812-620-4034, if you need to call me after
the
show.
If they post a comment to Facebook Live on our page, we will see it, and usually they don't scroll off so fast that we don't catch it.
Sure.
Apologies for missing that. It just literally scrolled off, and I can only see about half of it. So.
But keep sending them, and I appreciate that. Anyway, that's a little bit of a digression, but this idea of using all the Bible.
Right. right,
as our foundation, not one part of it, you
right,
know, anyway, is kind of what we're
and bringing all of the different passages that have a different vantage point from which it's trying to describe things and figuring out how to harmonize things.
Yes.
So that the truth is becomes apparent rather than pitting one against the other and that kind of
yep,
thing, which is
yep,
what we're going to be looking at here even more. Let me go ahead and add to that. Matthew 6:33 mm-hmm, talks about this priority as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, physical worries and concerns that we have, shall be added to you. That's the promise that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way we're supposed to balance those things,
yeah,
is spiritual priorities first, and physical things will fall into place when we're following God's pattern,
yeah,
the way we should. Now, where can we find this? Let's reiterate that a little bit. 2 Timothy
yeah,
3:16-17. Go ahead and...
Okay. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
This goes back to exactly what was being said in that comment of all scripture.
Do we need to do a discussion of what all means again? We do this about every week at different
okay,
times.
You can explain it then, because you know.
Is there an aller?
An allist?
Or less all? Is there less all? It's all. That's the point. It's everything, and
right,
I don't understand the confusion on people saying, "Well, that matters and this doesn't."
Yeah.
If
right,
it's all inspired, then right, we need to pay attention to all of it, not
that's
less
exactly
than all.
Right.
Anyway, I just
and
to point
it
out,
makes us complete.
Yes.
Can you be completer or less complete or whatever like that? Complete means that this all scripture
yep,
gives us the basis by which yep, we have everything we need.
Yep.
Complete, equipped for how many good works?
Every.
What
does that
work
mean?
Yeah. All are.
Yeah.
Every.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just seems odd to me that people pick and kind of get picky about parts of the Bible.
Right.
But I don't like that part.
Right.
And guess what? God doesn't care if you like it or not. God
it's
doesn't
all
care
there
if I like it. If he put it in there, it matters.
And when we use it the way all of the scriptures
yes,
say to use it, that's where we get to the truth
now,
that we need.
I'm going to throw this out again, because as I began my studies,
mm-hmm,
28 or however long ago, and I don't know, about 3 decades ago.
Yeah.
I kind of approached this idea of the Bible as there's got to be something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be something.
Skeptical, right.
Yeah. I'll say I was cautiously optimistic. I don't know.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know what, but the people as well. There are websites out there that have lists of Bible contradictions.
Yeah.
Because they pull things out of context.
Right.
And don't let them harm. This always harmonizes. It never contradicts itself.
Right. If you want to try to falsely pit one against the other, sure.
Yeah.
If you want to misinterpret
yeah,
things, you can.
I like the way you, because people do pit these grace and truth against each other.
Right.
They pit truth and faith and all these things
right,
against each other when they don't contradict one another. You
right,
have to force them into a situation they don't belong in order to try to do that.
Right.
And it's just a matter of getting back to, you know, Psalm 119:160. All of God's word is truth. We need to respect and love it as that way. But anyway,
that's right.
I just if you're out there and you're wondering, why do I keep hearing about contradictions? Because somebody's lying to you.
That's right.
They
don't have an interest
yeah,
in figuring out how the Word of God harmonizes.
They may not be meaning to.
Right.
I'm not saying they're purposely deceiving people, but you can call a lie another word if you want to. But it's
a falsehood.
A lie is a lie.
Yeah. It's still in the realm of what is false.
Yeah.
And in fact, tomorrow morning's lesson is going to get into truth versus lie and all that kind of stuff.
I'm looking forward to that.
Come tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
9:30 for Bible study and 10:30 for worship. Just
that's
down the road from Crawford County High School. Just
that's
a piece.
Right.
It's not far at all. Sits right at the edge of a cemetery. Easy to find.
Exactly.
On the
looking
edge.
Forward
it's on either
to
side.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the cemetery.
Let me ask you a new question and apply the biblical balance principle to it.
Uh-oh.
All right? And here's how you're going to start answering the question is you're going to turn in that Bible right over there to Matthew 15, because we want to read the whole verses 1 through 9 for Matthew 15. But here's the question.
Well, ask the question.
Are religious traditions bad?
Ooh.
Are religious traditions bad? Now,
let me read first.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. A lot of times with questions, we may start speculating all over the place and just say, well, yes, or well, no, or whatever like that. But with any question, well, we need balance. That's true. By the way, last night it was so funny because I was preparing my lesson for tomorrow. And Reagan comes and talks to me for just a minute, and he said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, we're talking about truth, but that truth needs to be balanced by, you know, the right heart and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, do you always use that word? And I was like, what? And he says, balance is like your favorite word. And I was like, well, Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, are religious traditions bad? We may want to just try to answer that off the cuff, but what we really need to do with this question and every question is step back and say, what does the Bible say about this issue? And go try to answer it with Scripture.
Yeah. Before we go on, I'm going to tell you what happened at El Bethel when I first got started there.
Yeah.
They weren't taking communion every week.
Okay.
And when we talked about it, someone made the comment, this, well, Scott, we never really considered that the Bible said anything about it. We just decided how to do it. And that's not bad. It's not a bad thing, because when they saw it, they're like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
So they were able to make that change without
any hesitation. Isn't that commendable that you have a group of people who, when they're shown something from Scripture, they're willing to say, you know what? Okay, let's do what we're doing better by doing it the way the Word says.
It's just an honest heart, and they just said, okay. But it was never really thought about that the Bible said anything about that.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
and that whole idea is just really exciting to me. It's just finding somebody willing to say, okay, that's what the Bible says.
That's right.
Balance, boy. Okay. John 15.
Okay, so let's. Did I say John? I meant Matthew.
Matthew.
Okay.
I saw John on his paper.
That's right.
And we're studying John on Wednesday nights. If you want to come, we'll be in John.
And what time is that?
That's 7:30 on Wednesday. Seven o'clock on Wednesday night.
7 o'clock on Wednesday.
Anyway.
Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Go ahead and read all of that, please.
Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Again, not very Jesus-y.
Oh.
Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain did they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. Now here's why I say that's not very Jesus-y.
Okay. Because it is Jesus talking.
It is Jesus talking.
Okay.
This idea of Jesus' love, Jesus takes everybody, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We can read, we've read two times now, Jesus called somebody hypocrite.
Yeah.
You go to John and he says, you're going to die in your sins.
Yeah.
Jesus told people the truth.
Yeah.
He's not just love, and he is love, and he is mercy, and he is grace. But the reason I say it's not very Jesus-y is people say, well, Jesus wouldn't say something like, yes, he did say something like that to people.
Exactly.
And so that's why I keep making that kind of...
I was like, it really is Jesus-y.
It is Jesus-y. And I wanted to point that out because he told people what they needed to hear in a way they could understand it.
Yeah.
And so I'll keep... Priscilla's showing me a watch that I can't even see the face of because it's black, by the way.
Oh, that says top of the hour in 12 seconds. And what are you supposed to do at the top of the hour?
At the top of the hour, by law, I'm supposed to say...
Wait a minute. Five seconds, four, three, two, one.
All right, good. Thank you for your help. you're listening to 89.9 WBRO radio from beautiful beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
That's right. And you're listening to?
And you're listening to Let the Bible Speak, here with Scott Mitchell and John Bingham and Theron Hall and whoever else we can get in here to talk to.
Whoever else you can drag around the streets.
And look, the reason I have a lot of people come in, because I might sound a little kooky to somebody who hasn't studied the Bible and approached it with the type of authority that I think we need to have to deal with the Bible.
Yeah.
And so I want people to know that I'm not the only one teaching.
Yeah.
That you treat the Bible with total respect all the time, every page, every word.
Yeah.
That's why I like to have a lot of people come in here and share their thoughts and ideas. So anyway, if you're just joining us, we are discussing biblical balance with a gentleman named John Bingham. This is Scott Mitchell, and working with the Church of the Bethel. So we're in the middle of a talk about biblical balance. So hopefully you can join us and pop right in. So.
All right. Well, back in Matthew 15, I'll just highlight a few of those pieces.
Yes.
Where Jesus, the challenge originally is that the disciples were not following the tradition of the elders in something where they said, hey, before you eat, you need to wash your hands of whatever certain way and all this kind of stuff. First of all, just my own personal preference, I kind of like that tradition.
I do too.
I like washing hands before I eat something. You know, I'd rather have clean hands to handle things or whatnot like that. But they had actually elevated what is a nice idea, and nothing really wrong with washing your hands or whatnot. But they had elevated it as if they were violating the command of God if they used an unclean hand to grab some food. And that just wasn't part of what God said, okay? And so that was taking a tradition, which in and of itself may be innocuous and not really be a problem. To wash your hands is not violating God's word.
Innocuous?
Yeah, that's another fancy word. Thank you very much. But if we say, if you don't wash your hands, you've sinned, boy, well, all of a sudden we've placed a tradition into the position of being from God when it wasn't from God. And so we got to be careful about that. But Jesus kind of sidesteps and just ignores that particular problem and goes to a deeper problem and says, you know what, you've got some traditions that bring you where in direct violation of God's word.
Yeah.
Makes you break the commandment of God, makes the word of God void because you have directly contradicted God's word by this tradition. And so he says, whenever you've got traditions that do that, verse 9 says, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We got to be very careful that if there are commandments of men that directly void the word of God, that's vain.
So if I'm out there, here's what I'm thinking. Just go back 27 years. I've been studying the Bible for a few months. How do you know the difference? I mean, I grew up hearing stuff.
Right.
So how do I know the difference between what man says and what God says?
And that brings to mind, I'll answer
that. Oh, I triggered you.
That brings to mind, isn't it interesting, back in Matthew 4, whenever Jesus is being tempted by the devil doesn't just argue whatever. But at one point, the devil even quotes scripture to try to get Jesus to do what's wrong. Because why? Because he was taking that scripture and twisting it in a way to try to tempt him to do what would violate God's will. And so the problem is, the first answer is, go to God's word, and what does God's word say? But then the second answer is, make sure that you're handling God's word properly to not take one verse out of context and then still be doing what's wrong. Because there can be people who quote a scripture to you and they misapply it, and you're still wondering, well, am I doing the right thing or not? So it goes back to Acts 17 that says, that you search the scriptures daily to see whether the things that are being said are so.
I think the point I want to make here is that this is not the responsibility of your minister that you know the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. You don't rely on somebody else to tell you what God has said to you.
Yeah.
Now, do we need preachers? Yes. Do we need Bible classes? Yes. We do. But those are not the source of your knowledge.
ultimately you're responsible for.
We are responsible to know God's word. Now, right. That means you have to be in it, you have to be reading it, you have to be studying, you have to be doing it, and you don't wait for somebody else to tell you.
Yeah.
And that, which is what has happened when I try to set up somebody, well, doesn't the Bible say so and so? What? Well, yeah, but let's go look at where it says it, how, and what's the context.
Yeah.
And so it's my responsibility, and I'll be honest with you, I'm on a radio talking to people about the Bible. I can't just say whatever I want to say about the Bible.
Right.
I have to make sure it's, at, to the very best of my knowledge, the right thing.
Yeah.
And if I say something and it, you don't think it's right, you better call me, or else you're saying, Scott, just go ahead to hell. We don't really care. I don't, that's not my,
right.
My point on this show is not just to be on here talking to people. I want people to know God better.
Right.
And now, you didn't drive an hour this morning to come tell people a lie.
Right.
And Theron doesn't come over every week to listen to me tell people lies.
Right.
We want people to know the truth.
But that is being willing to sit down with open Bibles.
Yep.
And talk through everything instead of, well, somebody told me something one time and I'm just going to sit back and passively take that one thing.
Yep.
And never think about it more.
And if you listen to last week's show, we spent time talking about how, why is sin so bad, or why is sin bad? I mean,
right.
we have to understand.
Yeah.
There is sin and yeah. There are consequences, but there are solutions.
Right.
But they all come, every bit of that
yeah.
comes from the Bible.
We don't, right.
None of it's made up. You know, God has told us how to handle all these things.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw it. If you don't study your Bible and you're confused, study your Bible and the confusion will go away.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Very good. Okay, so it looks like traditions are bad. Is that the answer?
Well, I'm not going to say anything right now.
I'm setting you up for a trap, aren't
I? I know you are.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15.
I'm sure that's on my paper, but I was looking it up.
Anyway. That's right. You can look it up. That's good. That's good. I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Sure.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Jesus condemned traditions, right?
Yeah.
But Paul is saying there are traditions that the Christians were taught either directly by word by the apostles and prophets themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or by what the apostles and prophets had written down in the epistles.
Yep.
And that those traditions that Christians in the New Testament church were taught are things that they need to stand fast and hold to.
Yep.
Why? Because those are godly traditions.
Yep.
There are godly traditions that we should be holding on to. And yet at the same time, Paul told the Thessalonians that. Paul warned the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So Paul says to the Thessalonians, hey, there are godly traditions you need to hold on to. But to the Colossians, he's warning them, saying, be careful of human tradition,
mm-hmm.
which is not according to Christ, because that worldly stuff is not the godly stuff. And so the answer to are traditions bad is?
Maybe.
Yeah. Depends on where the traditions come from. Depends on where the traditions come from.
We have 8 viewers. That's cool.
That is cool. Hey there, everybody. If if the tradition is a human, commandments of men tradition, mm-hmm. that is going to come in conflict with God's word. That's not according to Christ. That is to be avoided. But those that are biblical, godly traditions are the things we need to hold on to. Now, I want you to read Matthew 21, verses 23 through whenever I stop you.
Well, okay.
How's that?
Matthew 21, beginning
because
verse 23.
Because Jesus ends up laying this out and defining this very clearly
okay.
as well. Matthew 21, starting verse 23.
And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? It's a great question.
That is.
Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?
Okay, hold your place right there. All right. I may get you to read some more in a minute.
Sure.
But they first come and they're asking, they're challenging Jesus because they don't like what he's saying, mm-hmm. because they think they are the authority. Mm-hmm. And so they come and they say, by what authority are you doing these things? Because we know we didn't tell you to teach this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus responds. Sometimes we feel like, well, if someone gives us a question, we have to immediately answer their question on their terms. Mm-mm. Jesus shows us that's not always the case. And he tests their hearts to see whether or not they're really interested in truth, mm-hmm. or they're just trying to
be right.
Be right and trying to catch him in a trap, right? And so he turns it around and says, look, I'll answer you if you're willing to answer me. By what authority, same kind of an issue, by what authority was John's baptism? Did John the Baptist come along and do this? And Jesus ends up saying, where was it from? Identifies two possible sources, either from heaven or from men, mm-hmm. right? And so those are the two possibilities. Either something that is taught is from God, from heaven,
yep.
or men made it up.
That's
now,
it.
There that's
aren't
it.
Any, there aren't any more options.
That's right.
That's all.
That's right. Now, what's interesting is these ungodly men who were trying to attack Jesus recognized the difference between whether it came from heaven mm-hmm. or whether it came from men, because yep. their reaction ends up being this next part. Go ahead and read that next part. And they reasoned among themselves, keep going there.
And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know.
Okay, so they say, well, now wait a minute. If we say that John the Baptist was directed by God yep. from heaven to teach what he did, we're going to be pinned down because we didn't do what he said. And so they know if it's from heaven, we got to do it.
Yep.
On the flip side, they say, if we say it's from men, we're going to anger the people because the people regard him as a prophet of God. And they know that it is a criticism, it's an insult, if it's simply from men.
Yep.
And it has no authority whatsoever if it's simply from men. And so their reaction tells us, if it's a commandment of men, it's vain worship, it is not worth anything.
Yep.
If it's from heaven, we have got to obey it. And so they end up backing off and they say, well, we're not going to answer your question. So Jesus doesn't answer them either. But
we don't hear anything about them saying, well, what do you think the truth really is?
Right.
What do you think would be best for everyone? What yeah. do you think? Those they don't discuss those things.
Right. Right.
What's the truth? What's common sense?
They're just
here?
Looking for an angle to be yeah. in charge and rather than...
Which goes to the heart. I mean, right. if you're out there and you're making every excuse you can to argue about what the Bible says, regardless of what it is in front of you, your heart, you need to soften your heart. You need to change your attitude.
That's right.
Because God, again, you've not messed up. If you're in a mess, God has not ever written you off.
Yeah.
You've not done enough to cause God not to want you back.
Yeah.
So soften your heart,
yeah.
read what the Bible says, and accept it as truth,
right.
which these people are not willing to do.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Right.
That's a little digression.
No. Well, here's the conclusion then. The question, are religious traditions bad? Some are, some aren't. Because we got to be careful not to get out on an extreme
yes.
from the balance. On one extreme, we could be like the Pharisees who ended up having some traditions that weren't necessarily good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't really matter whether you wash your hands or not. You can have that tradition, that's fine. But you got to be careful not to bind a tradition like that as if it were God's will
yes. yeah. yep.
and sinful to violate, okay? That's one way in which you got to be careful not to get into an extreme. The other way, though, is if you have commandments by which you are directly conflicting with the Word of God, then those traditions are making you in violation of God's Word, and those are condemned as well. So that's one extreme, is to be like the scribes and Pharisees in those ways. The other extreme would be to say, you know what? Anything that looks like a tradition, I'm going to just automatically reject. And so some people even take it to the extreme of, well, I'm just not going to do anything with organized religion. I can be spiritual on my own and all this. And they reject every bit of organized religion.
Yep.
Because something looks like it might be a tradition. Well, there are certain traditions that the church is supposed, Christians are supposed to follow, because that's what the Bible teaches.
Yep.
And so you need to be part of the church that's following the Bible, and not just reject all religion outright because of tradition.
And again, that's just people get out of balance in the way they think, because they, and I'll be honest, there's some bad religious people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're teaching bad things from ill-gotten, you know, they want ill-gotten gain from people, they want to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But pick up your Bible and read it, and you'll know a lie. You don't have to know every lie.
Right.
But if you know the truth, you'll know a lie when you hear one.
That's right.
And that's
train yourself in the truth.
And that way, when somebody, a televangelist, does say something really ignorant, you'll know it. Or whoever's standing in front of you preaching says something ignorant, you'll know it.
Right.
It's not their responsibility for you to know that. You've got to have that. But, you know, I know how important jobs are.
Yeah.
We've got to work. I teach school. I mow yards. I do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
That's fine. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. Yeah. And neighbor and all those things. But what I do in this world cannot overpower what I'm trying to do for God.
Right.
We've got to make that. You talk about balance. I don't want to be out of balance where I'm working so much I can't read my Bible and understand what I'm so tired at night I can't understand what it's saying.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you talked about that kind of balance earlier. That's where you cannot be so out of balance with how you think about God's Word that it does you no good.
That's right.
And
that's
people
right.
Are like, I know a lot, I've got a lot of family members. They want nothing to do with religion because of what they've seen. They'll say, well, what you know about religion is not what I know. And that's one thing we can agree on.
Mm-hmm.
We can at least start there.
Yeah.
It is what they've learned and what they've seen and what they've experienced was so out of balance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That it turned them off.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
It's not what we're talking about.
But if you are interested in spiritual things and you are interested in discovering and learning the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth of what the scriptures are really talking about, then there's an opportunity for you to dig into the Word and start asking questions and test it as to whether or not the Scriptures are saying all these things.
And I tell my son this often. Be willing to ask the question, but be willing to accept the answer that you
get. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I don't mind people having questions. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
But if you're going to ask the question, be willing to accept the answer.
And that's, the rich young ruler ends up asking a question, but he's asking...
Not a bad question.
Oh, a great question. But he's asking in order to simply be validated where he already is, rather than truly seeking what's going to help him grow.
Well, okay, I know this. When the Bible says that the Word is a double-edged sword, cutting even to the bone and what does that mean to people? What should that mean for when we say, well, the Bible will cut us to the heart? What is that supposed to do for us?
It's supposed to change us. Yeah. It's supposed to really separate out what's true and what's false and get rid of what's false.
See,
cut it out.
God already knows.
Yeah.
It's not like we can hide something. What God wants us to do is know that we know. We already know what's wrong.
Right.
But we have to be willing to admit it.
Right.
We have to be willing to fix it. You can't just shove it under the rug. That's out of balance.
Yeah.
You can't just shove your problems under a rug and pretend they're going to go away someday. They're not.
And that passage finishes up in Hebrews. That passage finishes up by saying, hey, we're all accountable on the judgment day.
Yes.
We are all accountable to what we do.
Yeah.
And no excuses.
Now, again, there's balance to that. You know, we're accountable. You know, Romans 8:1 says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
That's right.
the answer is being in Christ. Then the question becomes, well, how do you get in Christ? And that's a different discussion than we'll have. But that's where we find when you go to those verses and it doesn't, and you start bouncing around and looking, what makes, how does it fit together?
Right.
That's what we've got. We got to let one question lead us to another question, and then we get those things.
And this, and this balance principle, actually, puts things in perspective across the whole spectrum of issues that yes. come out of the scriptures, whether it's doctrinal issues about grace, faith, and works like we were talking about, or can I fall from grace, or do I have to always feel like I'm probably going to be lost because I never feel comfortable or have any assurance of salvation.
Yep.
Those are extremes that are out there, one side or the other.
But we deal with them.
Yeah.
I know people feel both ways.
Right.
I felt both ways.
And we need to look at what the scriptures say in order to feel comfortable with yes. what the truth actually is yep. on that. But family relationships. Think about family relationships. The husband-wife relationship is a balanced relationship. And when either the husband or the wife gets out of balance, things go yep. awry.
Yep.
Oh, or if both of them do.
After 27 years, still trying to get that right. I haven't got it right, but we're getting there.
But if you're both working toward yep. what yep. the scriptures guide, then you have the opportunity for improvement and growth yep. and happiness there. Parent-child relationship.
Yep.
You can be on one extreme and spoil your child. You can yep. be on the other extreme and abuse your child.
Yep.
Or you can do what the Bible teaches in nurture and admonition.
Now, Emma can't post anything about this
yeah,
on there right now.
That's
so
right.
Don't do that.
No posting there, Emma. But there's a balance on how to get that parent-child relationship right.
Yep.
There is a balance on how to get the relationship of the shepherds and the sheep in the congregation right.
Yes.
And how they're supposed to respect and respect each other's roles and work together in harmony and peace
yep.
and that kind of thing. You were saying how to balance your work commitments and everything that you're having to do to provide a living, all that kind of stuff, and spiritual concerns and all those types of things. This applies in all of those dimensions. And if this radio program goes on long enough, we'll probably talk about all of those dimensions eventually.
And we will. There are lots of things I want to talk about if I have time.
Yeah, that's so. Right. That's right. Let me introduce just one last concept with this as we're wrapping things up. We got about 7-8 minutes.
Wow. Left. Boy, time flies.
That's right. That's right. I snuck it in a minute ago, but I want you to think about it more directly as we close out. The oath in a court of law is there for a reason. And it is required. If people violate this oath, they are trying to deceive in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that will corrupt and mess up the ability to get to the right conclusion in a court of law. And so it's very important in a court of law whenever they say that you're supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What's interesting is that they don't just bind you down to say, well, hey, you got to tell the truth. They ended up going on and saying, well, we got to clarify this some more.
Yep.
And you got to make sure not only to be telling the truth, but it's got to be the whole truth. Why? Because if it's not the whole truth, then you can tell bits and pieces of truth, leave out certain parts of what the whole truth would be. And when you leave that out, you are deceiving people. Sometimes we call that fake news.
Yes, we do.
Because, you know, any news reporter that's not really telling everything that's going on accurately may only nitpick about a certain aspect or two and highlight that in order to what? Give a false impression.
Or show a clip out of context.
That's right.
That kind
that's
of thing.
Right.
Yep.
And so when that happens, deception occurs. That's the same thing with Scripture. If we end up presenting one passage of the truth, but we don't share the whole truth, then if we ride that one passage to false conclusions, we can deceive people that way.
Did my phone die?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Now it says Samsung.
But
I walked up. It is like it doesn't like me. I walked up all the
time. It doesn't matter. The radio's still going.
So yeah, still going out
here we go.
Anyway.
On the flip side, though, nothing but the truth.
Maybe your battery died.
Because nothing but the truth is, someone can say, hey, look, I told the whole truth, and then I kept talking and added extra things in. Why? Yep. Because if you throw in some lies on top of whatever the whole truth was, again, you're going to be deceived. Yep. And so if you add to the scripture, you've got a problem on that end. Yes. If you take away from what the whole truth is, you've got a problem on that side.
Absolutely.
Now, when I talked about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, how much scripture did I give? None. So let's go to scripture and look at the scriptures actually said this before the oath in the court of law said it. Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, I want you to go over to Revelation 22.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do it, and you shall not add to or take away from it.
That's Deuteronomy 12, 32?
Yep, Deuteronomy 12, 32. Yep. Do not add to it, nor take away from it.
Yep.
That's exactly what's being guarded against in that oath. Okay, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Yep, you knew where I was going.
So I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in a holy city, which are described in this book.
Do we want the plagues?
No.
Do we want our name taken away from the part of the tree of life in the holy city?
No.
No. And so we can't add to or take away from God's things.
No.
All right. Now, that is spoken of in the last couple of verses that I've got. Very briefly, Galatians 1 ends up saying, I'm disturbed that you want to distort the gospel of Christ. How could you distort the gospel of Christ? Either by adding something in or taking something away. And so Galatians 1 warns and says, if anyone preaches a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
We can't add to or take away from. Peter warned about some of the things that Paul wrote. And he says in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, I believe it is, there are some things in them hard to understand. That some of the things Paul wrote is hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures.
Yep.
How could you twist the scriptures? Either by adding stuff in or not looking at all of it.
You shall not surely die.
Yeah.
We have many examples of that kind of
thing. The original temptation to sin was, God said that? Yeah. Oh, you're not going to die like God said. Yeah.
One word.
That's right.
Oh.
So.
He didn't mean that.
So we've got to test ourselves. Do we have itching ears where we don't want to listen to sound teaching, but we have itching ears? The scriptures say that if you don't want the truth, you can find a lot of teachers who'll tell you whatever you want to hear.
You know, and I know you know Sid Latham, and I've said this a lot on this show. He told me right before I started preaching at All Bethel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Bible authority sounds really good until you hear what it sounds like.
Right.
You know. So what he said was, Scott, you know, everybody's for authority until they're not.
Until they're not.
Right.
I thought at the time, well, that's exactly right. What we're saying this morning may sound really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, hey, that sounds good. You know, approach the Bible honestly, take what it says, have balance in there.
Right.
However, if you get backed into a corner, you got to change something.
Yeah.
Go ahead and change.
Yeah.
Don't resist it. You do have to change. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you've got to change every day.
The rich young ruler ended up seeing it, and he walked away sorrowful.
Don't walk away sorrowful.
That's right. Apollos ended up seeing the truth when he was very zealous, But he didn't have it all figured out. He was pulled aside. He was taught the way more accurately. And then he became all the more zealous for what was good and right.
He didn't get mad?
No.
He didn't get offended if somebody was trying to help him?
He accepted it and changed and embraced it.
Yep. You know, I've had people say, well, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. I've never said that. But because I say you want to study the Bible, they get offended.
That's right. But there are good and honest hearts, and you can be a good and honest heart to be willing to open the scriptures together.
Yep.
And
that's all we want.
What's your phone number again?
812-620-4034. Give me a few minutes to get it plugged up because it died during the show.
Oh, yeah. It did die during the show.
Of course, now the phone's dead.
Yeah, now we're at 10:30 and 15 seconds.
Uh-oh. Oh.
So
if you have any questions from anything been talked about today, reach out to Scott and be willing to open the scriptures and let's have that conversation. Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say this tomorrow morning. We're going to have some visitors because we're going to a place on Indiana Bible Camp tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some people at Bethel worshiping with us on the way to camp. Woo-hoo. If you have questions, I have absolute faith in the fact that somebody in that room will be able to answer them for you.
Yeah.
Some really good Bible-minded people and are going to be there with us tomorrow at Bethel. Come in and visit with us and find out what we're talking about. When we talk about being honest Christians, come find out. If it offends you, come ask.
Yeah.
If you don't like what we're saying, come ask why we're saying it.
And we will try to point you back to the Bible. Yeah.
And if you want to say that we've said something wrong, bring your scripture and show us.
That's right.
In context.
Yeah.
And make sure. But that's how we do it. Folks, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I've been wrong a lot. Too many times. And I'm willing to change those things.
Yeah.
So that's all. That Psalm 51, that broken, contrite heart that David talks about.
That's right.
That's what God
wants.
That's
what we have to have.
And so anyway, it's time for us to get. This has been a really, really fast hour.
It has.
But as always, this is Scott Mitchell signing out, asking you to please just let the Bible speak.